1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Now this is the confidence." Oh, I got to stop already. What if you had confidence in your walk with God? In your relationship and walk with God, in living your life, especially when you slip up and blow it. What if you could have confidence in your walk with God? Was it last week we talked about no condemnation, or was that the week before? Last week was don't be afraid. Yeah, the week before. No consciousness of sin. What if you could live in that level of confidence? I'll say this about a good marriage, a good spouse. Your confidence in them and around them and with them should grow and grow and grow. And, you know, people talk about, well, we can talk about anything. That's usually in a maturity of a marriage, you know. And so what if you had that in your walk with God? You could really talk about anything, and you'd have confidence before Him. You wouldn't shrink back. You wouldn't, you know, I mean, the Bible declares, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. How difficult is that to do? Every one of us have probably from time to time have thought, I can't approach God. Not right now. Not right now. But anyway, confidence. Confidence is a very important thing. It's part of faith. I doubt that anyone that's not strong, that anyone who's strong in faith is not strong in confidence. Now, confidence needs to be based in the relationship and walk with the Lord and in His Word, not in self-confidence, self-righteousness. You know, if you were to ask me, am I confident in my walk with the Lord? Yeah, I'm confident in Him, and His confidence rubs off on me. You see what I'm saying? I'm not just cocky and self-confident. I approach Him on the basis of what He says on how to approach Him, how to be around Him, and so on. And when He says, therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, or 1 John, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. It doesn't say He's going to beat you up a while, and then maybe He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that confidence that we can, that we should have, comes from Him, comes in Him. It comes in maturity of relationship, knowing who He is and how He is. So again, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. Well, there it is, the confidence in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. Now, anything? It said again in verse 14, if we ask anything according to His will, what if we were to take the Bible at full face value? What if the Lord meant this literally? Anything. Ask anything. Now, I don't know about others so much. I know in my upbringing, all my life I've been in church. Parents brought me to church. And so I was always around saved people, church people. Grew up in a denominational church, pretty typical of most in America. And confidence before God was not very prevalent, it didn't seem to me. And this idea that you could ask God for anything, well, that would raise a lot of objections in the people that were part of that church. They had every kind of exception and every kind of, I don't know what you want to say, idea about things. You know, well, you can't get full of pride. Agreed. Can't get full of pride. Pride's a bad motivation. You can't get greedy. Agreed. Greed is a wrong motivation. And so anything that was a little bit more than, I remember one of the elders one time said to me, And if you want to know what it was, I was called before the elders to answer for myself. Because I was writing some things in a newsletter in the church that kind of challenged their theology a little bit. Imagine that. I got spirit-filled. That's what happened. And then it was a little bit, look, I'm getting in rebellion, so it's time to go or shut up. And I couldn't shut up about the word, so anyway. But he told me, we are to be content with food, shelter, and clothing, and that's it. That's a prevalent idea. If it's anything more than a roof over your head, if it's anything more than some clothes to wear, and if it's anything more than, let's see, basic sustenance, you know, you're getting over there into uncertain territory. But, you know, the very same elder board that was quizzing me had some well-to-do individuals on that board. And it would have been inappropriate, but you want to say, well, you've got some pretty nice clothes. That's a little bit more than clothes. You live in a pretty nice house, and that's a little more than shelter. I mean, a cave is shelter. You know, taking some sticks and putting a tarp over it, that's shelter. So where are we going to draw the line on some of these things, you know? But that's what religion does. It starts making rules, and, you know, people all the time are doing that kind of thing. But anyway, anything according to his will. Anything according to his will. Anything according to his will. Just this morning, had conversation with someone, you know, saying that they didn't want to make a request of God that was them. I don't want it to be me, you know. Look, God made you who you are with the likes and dislikes that you have. And unless it's something outside the will of God, it's okay to be you and ask what you would ask. Now, for somebody like Jay, a dirt bike's important to him. He's undoubtedly believed God for a dirt bike. He's wearing a dirt bike name on his shirt, right there. Husaberg. Yeah, Husaberg. Not a very common bike, but he's particular about that. Anyway, for me, an airplane. In fact, that was one of the issues in that church where I grew up where I got in trouble. Said to somebody that I believe one day God would give me an airplane. And it offended them. You can't ask God for an airplane. You know, it's kind of the same idea. Food, shelter, clothing, and with that, be content. I'm real tempted right here to teach what Paul said about being content. But then it won't be a short message. But maybe I'll say this. When he says to be content, remember Paul wrote that. I don't remember the rest of the verse right now offhand. That word is self-sufficient. Well, we're not to be self-sufficient. We're to be God-dependent. What does he mean, self-sufficient? And again, I won't go into all of that. Won't take the time. But he's talking about when you need something within you, you know how to exercise faith and ask and get what you need. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There will be gain involved. Amen. Contentment does not mean you're not gaining and pursuing more. Okay. Come on back. But this was really a taboo where I grew up that you would believe or ask or the idea that you could ask God for your desires. Even though the scripture says God will give you the desires of your heart. If he gave you those desires, if he made you that way, as opposed to different from somebody else, you don't need a special green light from God. If you like antique cars, you like hot rods, you want a home with a view, whatever it is, those things are okay. Now it says, if we ask anything, and you are aware of this, according to his will. That's the key. That's the qualifier. We don't ask anything separate from the connected clause, the qualifier. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Again, this scripture lays out a progression. We ask according to His will. He hears. We know that He hears. And whatever we ask when we know He hears, we also know that we have. That's pretty certain language. The whole conditional part is asking according to His will. Now again here, I guess I'll dip back into what is religious thinking that folks have, that a lot of folks have. To ask them, this verse would read, if we ask anything, if it be His will. How many have been around people that every prayer is kind of like, Lord, if it's Your will, heal them. I mean, what are they saying? If it's not Your will, go ahead, kill them. But it's thought to be humility. And yes, humility will arrange oneself under the hand of God, under the will of God. But this doesn't say, you know, ask not knowing. And ask and throw the qualifier, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. When you pray that way, Lord, if You want this to happen, let it happen. If You don't want it to happen, don't let it happen. If you pray that way, and for some time it doesn't happen, you're left to assume that it was the will of God that it not happen. Right? You're left to following open doors and closed doors, circumstance. And the enemy plays around in the realm of circumstance. For instance, Daniel prayed, asking God for interpretation of visions that he had, dreams that he had. And the scriptures talk about he fasted 21 days, right? And then an angel appears to him. The angel Gabriel appears to him with a message and says that he was dispatched immediately when he prayed 21 days ago. But he says, but the prince of Persia opposed me. You got to read a little bit and you figure it out. Prince of Persia was the devil behind the man. Through the wording there in Daniel, you can see there are kings and there are kings in the spirit realm that run the kings in the natural, princes and so on. So this angel ran into opposition. And even talks that the archangel Michael came to assist him against this prince of Persia. And when that resistance was defeated, then this angel was able to appear to Daniel and give him his answer. That tells you and I that we might pray and immediately the answer is dispatched, and there will be an opposer and he will delay an answer. What if on day 20, Daniel would have said, well, I guess God's not going to talk to me about this, and he would have quit his pursuit of an answer from the Lord. He would have never known. Amen. Amen. So we can't play this game of, if it be Your will, thinking it's humble. You need to, as this says here, according to, you need to know what His will is. And when you know what His will is, pray accordingly, according to that. That tells me that there are some times where I don't know what His will is in a situation, and before I pray and ask for a particular outcome, I better pray to know His will. Lord, what do You desire in this situation? What is the direction You're going? What do You want to accomplish? How should I pray? What should I ask for? Good time to pray in the Spirit, to pray in other tongues, because you don't know. And if you're praying in the Spirit and you're praying utterance as given by the Holy Spirit, you are perfectly praying the will of God. Amen. As one of the great values of praying and speaking in other tongues is you are lining up with the will of God even when you don't know it. Amen. 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 So asking according to His will. If you can determine in any scenario and situation what the will of God is for that and line up with Him and ask according to that will and move in the direction of this is what God wants to happen, you will have 100% success in your prayer life. That's amazing. That's amazing. You can pray and never fail. Now, the only one that I think that I know of that might have actually done that is Jesus. The rest of us would maybe come short from time to time on knowing what His will is explicitly. But even Jesus, think of the Garden of Gethsemane. If there's any way this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what You will. I mean, Jesus was looking, so to speak, for an escape. Is there another way to accomplish and ultimately submitted Himself under the will of God? But He knew what the will of God was. He knew. And even those three times that He prayed, three times He lined Himself up according to the will of God in that prayer time. Amen. So this is the great clause. This is the great guarantee, if you will, of success. Find out what His will is and ask according to it. Amen. We can ask anything inside of His will. The Lord gave me an illustration for all of this that I'm going to work pretty heavy today. But I don't know about you, but at our house, Amazon delivers something almost every day. Between supplies and things we want and all of that. I'm sorry, Jess, but they're shutting down Temu because of the Chinese, how they're doing things here. She's been doing some Temu. Anybody see those ads, Temu? Super cheap Chinese stuff. Anyway. I wrote it this way. You can order anything on God's website. You can order anything on God's catalog. Or we'll say it this way, and this is something very familiar to everybody. You may participate in this whole thing today. You can order anything on God's menu. Amen. Restaurants have menus. Why do restaurants have menus? They have menus because their cook staff knows how to make these things, but not these things. Amen? So, it would be something like, somebody's going to think this is in some way racist and all, but anyway, the other morning, Sandy, I don't know how she got it, but she was laughing at herself. She kept calling me Wing Wang Wing Wang Wong. And she thought that was hilarious. And it was a half hour of laughter, her saying Wing Wang Wing Wang Wong. You wouldn't go to the restaurant where Wing Wang Wing Wang works, cooks, and order crawfish etouffee. It just wouldn't work. Or Chateaubriand. Wing Wang Wing Wang Wong don't make Chateaubriand. If you were going to go after church today and you want Mexican food, you're not going to go over here to what's the ramen noodle place, whatever, that place. They're not going to make you a burrito. It's not on the menu. And we well understand this before we go to the restaurant. We review in our minds and maybe with our tongues. You'd hear people say this, what are you tasting for? Somebody's going through the process of thinking about the menu, what's on the menu, and you choose the restaurant you're going to go to according to the menu that you have in mind. Now, you may, from time to time, go to a place and not know what's on the menu. But local restaurants and so on, you know the menu. If we want something that's not on the menu, we do not expect them to make it for us. Amen. You can't go into Wendy's and order, I don't know, what do they not make? A slab of ribs. Yeah. Or you really want some fettuccine Alfredo with shrimp. Not Wendy's. Better go over to Olive Garden. I wish Tucci's was open more. They make pretty good Italian food. You don't expect the cook to make something not on the menu. And when you go to the restaurant, some of them I don't. Some of them I go often enough, they don't give me a menu. Because I know what I want. But if you don't know what's on the menu, you're seated, right, and given a menu so that you know what their offerings are. Anything on the menu you can make. And if you don't find what you want on the menu, maybe you can ask. And from time to time, you know, people do. Can you just do a little bit of, this and add that people all the time, you know, making exceptions. My mom and dad, if they get order a baked potato, they don't want no sour cream on it. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they don't want sour cream on it, so they're making adjustments, you know, and okay. But what I'm getting at is we well have this understanding. If it's not on the menu, we don't ask. Now, there's someplace you can go, you know. I recall going with Pastor Webb and Pastor Achille Scaravelli to one of his favorite Italian restaurants, a guy that went to his church. He's from Sicily, speaks Italian in his services, and they translate to English and back and forth. And anyway, we went to a restaurant. We go in, and the restaurateur wants to take care of his pastor and take care of these other two pastors Sandy was with at that time. And whatever they call the person that seats you, you know, gives us menus. But the owner comes out. He takes all the menus. You like some seafood? You like, you know, this? Yeah. He says, okay, just sit back. I'm going to make you some great stuff. And then we had a fillet of salmon and different, it was about five courses of just stuff he wanted to make for us, you know. And that was so good. What is that called? It's just something I put together, you know. So he asked the kinds of things we want and then put it together. So that was all off menu. But that doesn't happen all that often. One time, Pastor Webb and I went to they called it Mexican fusion, a blend of old traditional and new modern, a restaurant in downtown Tucson, Arizona. And so they had a chef special that we would ask, well, what's the chef special? We don't know. The chef will make you something. Well, I like this, and this. Will it have that? You know. And that's just the way they did that particular restaurant. But it was so highly rated. You want Pastor Webb to pick your restaurants. He's good at it. But it was so highly rated that we said, okay, give us two of the specials like that. And it came out, and it was whatever it was, and it was delicious and wonderful. And by the way, I had something I didn't ever have before and haven't had since. It was so good. Chocolate cake with jalapeno in it. Hot chocolate. That was good. That was good. Anyway, yeah, I did. I wondered about it too, but when I tasted it, oh, man, let's have more of that. If we want something not on the menu, we do not expect them to make it for us. How is it that we can go to God and expect Him to do whatever we wanted without knowing what's on the menu? Amen. If we order something that is on the menu, I'm going to flip this the other side now. You order something that's on the menu, and they don't make that for you, they make something else. Most of the time, we'd find that somewhat upsetting. That would not be satisfactory. You'd wonder, well, why'd you do that? I ordered this. It's on the menu. You make it all the time, right? What I'm getting at is we have an expectation that if there's something on the menu and we order it, we expect it to come. And we expect it to come in its full value. Everything there, not missing parts. You know, you forgot the peppers. Something like that, you know. That's a normal expectation. Is it prideful to expect what you ordered to come? No. Got nothing to do with it. It was their offering on the menu. This is what we offer. You offered it, so I ordered it. And because you offered it, I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way. You are executing a contract at a restaurant. They present a contract to you. It's the menu. Here's what's offered. Here's the price. And they will go ahead and make for you what you request. And they expect, after you've eaten it, to be paid. It's a contract. When you say, I'll take the ribeye steak, you have just signed the contract. Now, if they don't perform satisfactory, you know, that puts it up in the air. But I'm hoping you can draw the parallel here. When you see what's on God's menu and you order it, you can expect it to be delivered. You've entered contract. Amen. And by the way, in God's restaurant and His menu, everything is already paid for, paid in advance. Jesus already paid it. You know, do you ever get excited you're invited to something and it's all you can eat and it's already paid for? You know, I know just from knowing people in the world, if there's a wedding or something like that, they ask, is it an open bar? And if it's an open bar, you go drink whatever you want. Boy, oh boy, they get excited about that. Yeah, it's all paid for. Well, let me tell you, with Jesus, it's an open bar. It's already paid for. Amen. You don't have to. The contract has been executed, and the offerings, what they offer on the menu, what God offers on His menu is all listed out, and the right column where you would find the price, you just see a spot of blood. Paid for. Paid for. Or maybe we might say it like this, you know, a thumbprint of blood over what the price was. You can't read it. It's blotted out with blood. Jesus went down the menu with His blood. The right side of the menu is gone. Paid for. Paid for. They print or post their menu. Some places you go and the menu's up there, you know, so that you can know what it is that they offer and don't ask for something they don't offer. We usually cannot sit down and order from our own desires something that is not offered on the menu. Here's a question. Have you read God's menu? Remember, you go into a restaurant, they present their contract document. Their menu is their contract document. This is what they offer. And you agree to pay. You know, I mean, people do all kinds of things, but normally you can't say, well, that steak wasn't worth $22. I'm going to give you 12. Now you're going to get a visit from the manager. on that one, right? So anyway, you know, they have a menu. It's a contract document. God has a contract document, His Word. And if you'll read it, you'll find out what He offers. Amen. And if it's offered on the menu and it's already paid for, you are welcome to ask for it. And if it's on the menu, yeah, sure, that's yours. You know that He hears. And you know that they're going to cook it up in the back and bring it out to you. This is what it is to ask anything according to His will. Know what's on the menu. Know what's on God's menu. So, how well do you know God's menu? Have you refreshed yourself? One place it says renewing your mind with the Word of God, right? Have you refreshed your mind on what's on the menu? You know, I figured out most restaurants that I go to, I know what I'm going to order before I get there. Figured out my favorites. I know what I like. I know what they offer, right? And if there was ever a day where I got a taste for something different, I'll look at the menu that time, go through some things, right? So when something comes up, are you reading the menu to find out if it's offered? Or are you going by what someone else said is on the menu? Or do you know for yourself? You're reading it yourself. What am I getting at? I'm getting at restaurants have competitors, right? They might offer different things on the menu. God has a competitor. Now, that competitor is totally defeated and outclassed. But too many people are taking the competitor's word for what's on God's menu. The competitor, the enemy, the devil, will tell you things like, when you want to order some healing for your body, it's on the menu. The competitor will say, oh no, he's not making that anymore. That passed away with the last apostle. Right? There are many voices that try to tell you what's on the menu. Better find out for yourself. Because the enemy, dare I say it this way, religious spirits are always trying to tell you what's on and what's off the menu. No, you can't have that. You don't qualify. Amen. Amen. Have you been told lies about what's on the menu? Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 13. If I could get this across to everybody that praying and asking God for something according to His will, it's as simple as going to a restaurant. It's the same thing. What's on the menu? Ask for it. And if it's on the menu, that's what they're offering. If it's on the menu, that's what God's offering. He wants you to have it already, or He wouldn't have offered it. Amen. John 14, 13 says, and whatever you ask in my name. Really? Whatever? Whatever? I mean, both these verses and many others, scriptures make it wide open. Wide open what you might ask for. Now he says, whatever you ask for in my name. Now it's not just signifying his authority, but I think you can see he has limited now what you can ask for to things on his menu. Right? So whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Again, I'm just trying to impress you. You know, it's, when it says whatever or anything, how wide open is that? One qualifier, is it on the menu? That's it. That's it. Let's go to James chapter 4. Now, I suppose we do need to mention this. There are times when people approach these things in a wrong manner. Motivations matter. Even if it's on the menu, motivations matter. James chapter 4, verse 2. It'd be good to read several of the verses around as well, but we're going to, for sake of time, just do this. James chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain." He's implying people steal and take and hurt other people to get what they want. Well, that's not how God works, right? "You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask." Well, there's one way you can fail, is not asking. Verse 3, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures." There may be something that one might ask for, but they're asking amiss because their motivations aren't quite right. What are we talking about? We know that on the menu is abundance of provision for the believer. He even says in Deuteronomy 18 that he gives us the power to get wealth. And you see so many of God's people, the characters in the scriptures, become wealthy. God blesses them, they become wealthy. Well, I would say wealth is one of the things on his menu. But here, you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Now, God's not opposed to someone being wealthy, but he's opposed to covetousness, selfishness, and doing things that would harm individuals, not help individuals. So one might ask, "Lord, I desire to have abundance and wealth, but if you have no thoughts concerning kingdom first, doing what you would instruct me to do with wealth, the purpose of wealth, why does God bless us? He has needs that he wants taken care of. And if nobody has any money to meet any needs, how are things going to get taken care of?" Amen. So God desires that there be abundance in our lives. And again, let me take it back to our restaurant analogy again here. If you read the menu and abundance of resources is on the menu, you can order it. You can ask for it. Amen. And we won't go into it today, but there's steps involved. It won't be now that you've asked, you sit on the couch and wait for the checks to roll in. It's not quite like that. But asking God for abundance in your life so that you might do kingdom things with that abundance, be a blessing. Some of it's for you, yes. Yes. God's interested in us being well supplied so that we can supply others as well, that we can help. There's work to do, kingdom work to do. But if there's one that's, "No, I just want to have, you know, super fancy boat. I just want to, so every weekend I'm going to be on the lake." You know, all the kinds of ways that people ask amiss on that. And when one asks amiss, there's no obligation on God's part to meet that need. In fact, we mentioned this early parts of the service, you know, all things work together for good for them that love God, called according to his purpose. And if greed and selfishness and so on is going to come into play, if people are well supplied, God's not into blessing greed and selfishness and so on. So they may not come to that abundance. Others will come to abundance without God's help. You can work hard and obtain money and spend all your time on that. You know, you can harm other people, steal, whatever. But we see here from this scripture, some don't ask and some ask amiss. Both of those happen, but it shouldn't stop you from asking for whatever's on the menu. Amen. And then be willing to move in that direction. You know, it's going to be kingdom first. Kingdom first. kingdom first. And again, God would not necessarily be pouring out financial abundance upon someone that's going to do very destructive things with that wealth. Amen? To think of oneself above the kingdom is a disqualifier. So I just felt like we needed to point that out while we're here. Order anything on the menu? Yeah, anything on the menu. But be careful about your priorities on that. And when you get your priorities straight, you order whatever is on the menu. And to think about the kingdom of God, just as a by the way, if everyone in here was very abundantly supplied, it would benefit the kingdom of God. Probably most of us have had an occasion where there was a need, something we'd like to do financially to give, and the consideration of family budget or the resources you have comes into play. Well, I wish I could do more. I'd like to do more. Well, God will grow you more so you can do more. But before we get bent out of shape about wealth and abundance, if every believer was wealthy and abundant, boy, the things that we could do kingdom-wise, right? There shouldn't be a church like ours or anywhere that has a mortgage on the building. That should be done, over with, paid for. You agree? And then if we needed things done, we just do them and get it done. Outreaches in the community if we wanted to do them. If we wanted to bless our local fire department or, you know, buy a piece of equipment or things like that, you know. All of that requires resources. And the more resources in the hands of God's people, the more good that can be done. There is nothing wrong with wealth and abundance. The problem is people's priorities. So motivations matter. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 19, please. 2 Corinthians 1, 19. The more you get on board with God's purposes for His kingdom concerning funding things, the more abundance will come into your life. Where is that scripture? He gives seed to the sower. It's when 1st or 2nd Corinthians. God gives seed to the sower and bread for food, it says in that scripture. Amen. Well, if somebody eats all the seed, that's not benefiting the kingdom. That's not helping. God gives seed to sowers and bread for food. And if one's just an eater and not a sower, well, He'll give them enough to eat, and that's it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 19 says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in Him was yes for all the promises, all the offerings on the menu, everything on the menu, all the promises of God in Him, according to His will." Find out what's in Him. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. You've been told, I've been told. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no. Oh, what are we to think of that when this says all the promises are yes and amen? That's yes and so be it. Yes and so be it. What's the qualifier? Promises of God in Him. Is it on the menu? Are we asking correctly? Are we asking for the right thing? We have the right motivation in heart. All the promises of God in Him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Do you know it glorifies God when we receive what He offers? It glorifies God when we receive healing in our body. It glorifies God when there's restoration in relationship. It glorifies God when we extend and receive forgiveness. It glorifies God when everything's paid for. glorifies God when everything's paid for. I have an abundance, so let me make this good happen and that good happen. All of this glorifies God. Amen. So here's what he offers on the menu. The promises. Promises. Things like Philippians. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's on the menu. All your need. God supplying all your need. So what do you do? You get seated at God's restaurant and you say, I'd like to order all my needs met according to your supply. And God, hearing that, says, yep, that's on the menu. Agreed. Goes back. I know the analogy doesn't hold up in everything, but goes back in the kitchen and he cooks it up and brings it out to you. Here's this need met. Here's this need met. And this is an expected, simple, contractual exchange, a transaction. It's nothing unusual, spectacular. It's exactly what the Lord hopes for. A restaurateur would be upset if his restaurant was full of people and nobody was ordering anything. Oh, I don't want to be prideful, you know, I don't need anything to eat. Just the biscuit is okay. You'd have an upset restaurateur, wouldn't you? You know, of course, they're thinking about the money. I get that. But what about sitting in God's dining room and not ordering up? Would he be pleased with, well, it's just little old me. It's just humble me. I don't need much. You got any saltine crackers, maybe? I can live on saltine crackers. Hey, folks, when it comes to cooks, God is a master chef. And he makes some delightful dishes. And he would like for you to try a few of those dishes. If you go somewhere to rejoice and celebrate, maybe a family event, some great victory, and you're going out, you know, you want to order the appetizer. No, order two. No, make it three appetizers. Well, we can't eat all that. I don't care. Just take a taste. Then you order the soup. Then you order the salad. Then maybe the main course. And we have got to have dessert too. Can't nobody eat all that, right? Doesn't matter. It's a celebration time. And if you got a cook, a restaurateur like God, he is thrilled when you order up and he wants to fill the table before you. Makes me think of Psalm 23. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God wants the enemy to see a full table. Can't nobody eat all of that? Well, there's leftovers. Take them home. Give to your friends. Bless the dog. Amen. He prepares a table before me. God wants you to order up. Find out what's on the menu. Order up. Well, that's too much. That's exactly what he wants is too much. You know, some restaurants that you go to, they give portions that are just, you know, they're too big. They know that too. They want their reputation to be, oh, you come to our place, oh, you are going to be well fed. God says, when you come to me, oh, I want you well fed, extras and leftovers. Back to Psalm 23, he doesn't fill the cup. He overflows the cup. He's the God of too much. Whatever he does, Jesus breaks a few loaves of bread and some fish, right? What does he do? Makes too much. Why? So that the little boy that sowed his lunch could have a whole lot to bring home to mama. When God does something, he does it big and he does it too much. I many years ago, when I was really learning some things in the Word, before I was a minister, still in construction, I was with a brother in the Lord who was explaining. He was growing, I was growing, we were all growing in the Lord, got excited about some things. But he was explaining to somebody back in those days about how the Lord, you know, would take care of him. He would say, it sometimes would seem like the last minute, and sometimes it took a long time, but the Lord would always give us, it seemed like just enough to get through. And immediately the Lord spoke up in my heart and said, as long as he keeps saying that, that's all it's ever going to be is just enough. And I learned, you don't say that. You order up and say, Lord, I'll take the large portion. Yeah, give me the jumbo. Well, you can't eat all of that. That's okay. I can keep munching on it long later. I'll give it away. I'll bring it home. Again, I'll bless the dog. And sometimes we think about the value of a thing and don't be wasteful, you know. And I suppose that could be applied to the things of God as well. Be good stewards. Don't be wasteful of them. But God's not concerned about the cost of a thing. Amen. The only one concerned about the cost of a thing is us. Again, Jesus paid for it. It's all paid for already. So it's not like he's going to have to dig in his pocket and come up with something extra because we ordered too much. It's all paid for. Jesus paid it all. Amen? Knowledge and skill with the menu of promises, will get you yes answers. The better you know the menu, the better you know what's on the menu, the more familiar you are with the promises of God, the greater the results you're going to get. Our opening scripture said, this is the confidence that we have in him. Yes, confidence comes from certainty about what's on the menu. When you don't know things, for instance, you know, would God heal me? Is healing mine? Does it belong to me? You know, I feel this pain. I've been suffering this thing. Is that mine? What should I be asking for here? If you're not very familiar with the menu, you won't ask in confidence. Confidence comes from knowing the menu. I was thinking about this when I was driving in. Now, Pastor Sandy right now, with her brain a little bit injured, she tends to ask somebody two things over and over. One is, how old are you? And the other is, are you married? Well, my mom and dad, bless me, brought dinner over last night, brought dinner for Sandy and I, and we sat for a while, and over and over and over, she asked them if they were married, you know, and she kept asking how old they are. And so I said to them, don't get frustrated with her. She's just going to ask you a dozen times, and it could be 30 seconds ago she asked you. She's going to ask you again. So just give her a cheerful answer again, you know. But mom and dad have far outlived their brothers and sisters. In dad's case, he's the youngest of four. And he's far outlived his brothers. And I was thinking about that while I was driving in. I know why. He's heard gospel that his brothers either didn't hear or rejected. Dad knows what's on the menu. And others, I'm thinking of one of my uncles in particular, one of his brothers, a good God-fearing man that was, you know, had a walk with the Lord that I respected, but he reached a point where he started saying all the time, I'm dying, I'm dying. Well, that wasn't on God's menu. That was a lie from the competitor. Yeah. Amen. And I don't know what my cousins, as a for instance, are going to think about this. How come they are outliving all the others? I want to tell them because they know what's on the menu, because they know what God has promised, you know. And about all of my cousins in church, you know, love God, all of that. But there's some of the menu offerings that they have crossed off, or somebody's crossed off for them. You know, that died with the last apostles. We can't expect that anymore. And knowing what's on the menu, mom and dad have from time to time ordered up. And they can have some confidence in things like Psalm 91:16. It's on the menu. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation, or deliverance from sickness, disease, injury, and so on. Amen. If you don't know that's on the menu, you can't order up. And when you know that you know that you know, oh yeah, that's on the menu, and there it is right in front of me. This is for me. The Father put the menu in front of me and said, what would you like? Don't be bashful. Order up. You ever take somebody out to dinner and say, it's on me. Order up anything you want. Don't care what it costs. It's on me. That doesn't get uttered all that often, but fun to do it when you do it. Or maybe it's been done for you. But, you know, they want you to know, go ahead and enjoy. It's on me. God offers up his menu and says, go ahead, order up, enjoy. It's on me. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 55:11 says this. The Lord speaking says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now, we have that written down in our Bibles now. And I'm going to say the word that comes forth from his mouth, that's the menu. Next, he says, it shall not return to me void. Void means empty. Now, he says his word, his offering, returning to him. What is that? That's when you order something. When they offer you chicken cacciatore, and you say, I'll have chicken cacciatore, you have returned their word to them. Right? That's the order from the menu. Then he says, it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. What is it to prosper? When God sends an offering, puts a menu before you, you return that menu item to him in your request, you pray. The prospering is, he serves it and you enjoy it. That's the prospering. That's what he's talking about. And then finally, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Again, hope, when you read it in the Bible, the original Greek word means confident, favorable expectation. It's an expectation. You know what an expectation is? It means that you fully were convinced this is how it's going to go, this is what's going to happen, and if it doesn't, you say, there's something wrong here. When we think of hope in English, you know, I hope it's sunny tomorrow. I don't think the forecast is that way, but I hope it's sunny. You are expressing a desire with no real expectation of it. You probably would bet more on the forecast than you would on your hope, right? Yes. Not so in the Bible. This Greek word means your expectation. So hold fast to the confession of our expectation. That means confession. Talking about your expectation. God is prospering me in my way. God is helping me. I'm moving every day into a greater supply. Amen. The Lord has granted me healing, and my body's coming in line with healing. I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, next week we're having a picnic. Do you think you can come? I don't know. I'm sick, and I'll probably still be sick. Wrong expectation. May I recommend to you, when they say we're having picnic next week, can you come out? I'm not feeling so well today, but I'll be there. I'll be set. It'll be good. I'm going to be there. That's holding fast to the confession of your expectation. What can you expect? You can expect what's on the menu. Amen. Then it says here, without wavering, back and forth is a real problem. Don't go back and forth. It says next, for he who promised is faithful. In the end, I've talked about confidence. And so in the end, where's that confidence? It's confidence in him to give, to provide, to supply, whatever it is that he offered. It starts with knowing what he offered. Let's go back to that first verse we did one more time. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So you can walk in expectation, you can walk in confidence, as long as you know the menu and you're asking for something that's on the menu. Now, maybe you haven't memorized the menu, so that's why we read. Keep reading the menu. Keep looking at the menu. And sometimes God will honor your desire and need, even if you're not so sure about the menu. When you're young in the Lord, he'll meet you at a pretty low bar. But as you grow, you know, he expects more. But God will, he's desiring and wanting to serve up what we need, what we desire. He's prepared a menu. He has a whole offering. And as long as you'll order what's on the menu, he hears and he gives. Amen. Now, as we've talked in past weeks, after that, there can be a challenge, and that's called the walk of faith. You know, you ever order something at a restaurant, and it seems to take them too long to cook it up, and you're wondering what's wrong, what's going on? Well, if it takes a little while for God to cook something up, there may be somebody trying to interfere and causing trouble, right? Sometimes asking big takes longer to move, maybe in steps toward that. You know, Lord, you have a promise of wealth. I don't know what your definition of wealth would be, but Lord, I receive from you wealth. Deuteronomy 18, you give me the power to get wealth. Well, that may take some years in growing and stages and steps to get to whatever you're calling wealth, what might be wealthy to you. And that can be quite different from one person to the next, you know. But I just want you to know today, if you'll know the menu and order what's on the menu and then walk by faith, holding fast your confession, I ordered the ribeye steak. Oh, it's going to be good. I can almost taste it now. I can hear it sizzling. I got to be careful. I'm going to make myself hungry here. I can hear that sizzling. I happen to like those restaurants that you go to where you can see them cooking, yeah. You know, and things are flipping on the grill and the flame comes up and, yeah, I like those places. So anyway, that's your confident expectation. Keep talking about it. Man, going to be the greatest steak I've ever had, right? Hallelujah. Your mouth starts watering, right? You're ready. Fluff out that napkin, tuck it up in tight, get fork and knife, and ready. I'm ready. How do you know they're going to bring you the ribeye steak? Because I ordered it. Why'd you order it? Because it's on the menu. And I don't know, maybe a restaurant could foul things up. Yeah, they do sometimes. But God is faithful. He'll never foul it up.
Amen.
You order something on the menu, and maybe, you know, in increasing in faith, maybe you order modestly and grow in faith, and order a little more and grow in faith, and order a little more and grow in faith. I'm at a point in my life where I could believe God for $100,000 easier than I could $1,000 way back there. Amen. I've grown. Therefore, so it's not 100,000 versus 1,000. And even if way back I was believing God for $100,000, got there, but it took a while. It took a while to get there. So order up. Good waiter, good waitress, what can I get you? We have all kind of invitation in the Scriptures where the Lord says, what can I get you? And if it's on the menu, order up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you and bless you for this encouragement today. And Father, I pray that these people, us, we grow under the sound of your voice in this word today, that we understand this a little bit better and we move forward, not just in our prayer life, but in our blessing and in being a blessing. With more, we can do more. Father, I thank you for all of these things today. And now, Father, as we receive our offering, we call this house Renew Church. We call this house blessed and abundantly provided for. We believe that you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so now we usher, we enter our order. We say, supply all of our need. We'll have a healthy supply of meeting our need this morning, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.